Thursday, April 26, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly. Coming to you from the Mile High City, we are right here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together, we talk sports every single day. We try to do it with a dose of common sense. I know right now that is sorely lacking in the world of sports, but we do try to apply a little bit of logic to it. Try not to take ourselves too seriously. Try to maybe laugh and joke a little bit at the sports world. There's just not enough of that going on right now. And we are very, very happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. Slowly but surely, we are making our way through another work week, getting our way to another weekend. Now, again, I do have to warn you ahead of time, you could hear some background noise today as we do some renovations here at the Daily Dose Studio. But I've got some good news for you. If you can email us, reach out to us on Twitter or Facebook, and let us know exactly when you might hear some construction noises in the background? Sounds to me like Big Rob just might have some tickets to the NFL draft tonight. Gonna have to hurry. Not gonna lie to you. You're gonna have to hustle and get out there, but you could be getting those tickets if you reach out to us. Now, if you would like to contact the show, let us know what you heard. Let us know that, hey, I heard a drill or I heard a saw, heard some things falling down, whatever it might have been. Or you just want to let us know how your week is going. Maybe you have some feedback. Maybe you have a suggestion, whatever it might be, you can email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or reach out to us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear from you. Let us know what is on your mind. We do have a lot to get to today. You know, there are a couple of stories coming out that we want to talk about real briefly. And with the NFL draft beginning tonight, we do want to give you a quick preview of what we might expect, at least early. You know, maybe first 5-10 picks or so, and see what teams might be looking to do. Plus, we will have to take a look at just a few of the bigger sports overreactions of the week. We've already talked about a few of them this week. There has been some nonsense coming out this week in the world of sports, especially concerning the NFL draft. A couple of things coming out that we're looking at going, that's not news. Telling us that the Cleveland Browns are saying they're interested in people? Yeah, that's not news. Of course they're going to say that. But we do have a few sports overreactions that we have to get to this week. Let's jump into a little NBA news right now, because of course, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they needed every bit of LeBron James' 44 points last night as they somehow managed to beat the Indiana Pacers in Game 5 to now take a 3-2 lead in that series. They have now put the Pacers on the brink of elimination. Now, neither team last night had much offense going. They both struggled to shoot with much consistency, but on the final defensive possession of the game, it was all LeBron. First, with the game tied, he blocked Victor Oladipo's layup. Then, on the offensive end, at the other end, with just 3 seconds left, hey, what can you say? LeBron James hits the game winner as the clock expires. Here is a clip from TNT.
Bank it in, and with 3 Cleveland triggers in. James, 2 seconds, 1 second for the win! Oh! LeBron James delivers! That's a winner in Cleveland!
Hey, that's a huge finish for LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And while I still think, and I've said all along, I think that they win this series, yet this series is not over quite yet. Indiana has played Cleveland tough in every single game. This one could still very, very easily be heading for 7 games. And of course, LeBron isn't getting much help, is he? We saw again last night. Kyle Korver chips in a few points. Other than that, he's barely getting double digits out of any of his teammates. But to be fair, LeBron James made this bet, right? I mean, he originally wanted Kevin Love on that team, even though now he hates his guts, but he did want him originally. He didn't want Kyrie Irving on that team, and he's gone. And he did want to give Tristan Thompson a bunch of money, and Tristan Thompson isn't even playing in these games. So, I mean, here we are. By the way, LeBron played another 42 minutes in that game last night. Yeah, that's impressive stuff. That's impressive stuff to play 42 minutes and still have the legs to block the shot at one end, go down to the other end, and hit the game winner at the other end. Hey, what can you say? Impressive stuff from LeBron James. But I'm not sure it's sustainable beyond the Eastern Conference. He may still get through that Eastern Conference, but I think that's going to be the end of it, because I don't think he can keep up that pace if he had to actually be playing Western Conference teams. They're just asking him to do way too much. He's playing so many minutes. He's having to carry so much of a load. But hey, all credit to LeBron James and I guess the rest of the Cleveland Cavaliers last night in that win over the Pacers. Now, I'm not sure if after that game you did switch over to watch Game 7 of the Eastern Conference playoff game in the NHL between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins. But man, you want to talk about intensity. And I know, looking at the score, you would think it wasn't very close. It was closer than it looked. And man, those games are just so intense when it gets to a seventh game. And when you look at some of these athletes that have played in these Game 7 situations, wow. You want to talk about stress? You want to talk about anxiety? You want to talk about all the intensity in the world on your shoulders? Hey, that crowd in Boston last night was at the edge of their seats for the entire game. Now, Boston did end up holding on and getting the 7-4 win to move on. But this was a way tougher series than I think the Boston Bruins were expecting. Now, they're going to move on to face Tampa, and that has a chance to be another great series. Some fun stuff going on in the NHL last night, too. Okay, I have some news that actually might disturb you a little bit, or at least it should. It should disturb you just a tiny bit. It seems that the Commission on College Basketball has sharply directed the NCAA to take control of their sport. They're calling for sweeping reforms to separate pro and college tracks, permit players to return to school after going undrafted by the NBA, and ban cheating coaches for life. Now, this independent commission is led by former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, and they released a detailed 60-page report yesterday, 7 months after the NCAA formed this group in response to a federal corruption investigation that we all know has been slamming basketball here for like the last year or so. There were 10 people, including a few assistant coaches, that were charged with bribery and a kickback scheme, and we have seen high-profile programs like Arizona, Louisville, Kansas, possibly Duke or North Carolina, all being tied to possible NCAA violations. Now, this 12-member commission has been made up of college administrators, former coaches, former players that were tasked with finding ways to reform 5 different areas, okay? NBA draft rules, including the league's age limit that has led to, you know, one and dones and that whole thing. They are going to look at the relationship between players and agents. They are going to look at non-scholastic basketball, like AAU programs, that are meant to raise the profile of these recruits. They were going to look at involvement of apparel companies. We all know those dirty shoe companies and their involvement with players, coaches, and schools. And they were going to look at NCAA enforcement of all of the above rules. Now, this committee, these are really smart people. Like, some of the smartest people, honestly, in the country. We have Condoleezza Rice. We have people like Grant Hill. This is a smart, smart group. These are highly intelligent people. These are people with, like, PhDs and master's degrees and that kind of thing. These are people who have worked in politics, who have worked in business, who have worked in athletics. And while I look at some of the things that they're saying, and they're saying they should permit players to return to school after going undrafted by the NBA. Of course they should. Why all of a sudden do those kids just become these lepers that no one will touch and you can't come back here? I know you tried to go to the draft, but you didn't get drafted, but you can't come back here. Honestly, who cares? But with all of the intelligence that we have on this commission, these highly intelligent people looked at the whole situation and then they are telling the NCAA that they need to do something about the NBA's one-and-done rule. Wait a second. You mean the rule that the NBA makes? The rule that the NCAA has nothing to do with making? That rule? These super smart people, this collection of individuals that has come together to have this commission of people that is going to say, hey, how can we fix some of the flaws in college sports? They are telling the NCAA, go fix the NBA's rule. Really? Go tell the NBA that. This isn't the NCAA's rule. They don't make this rule. This is the NBA's rule. The NBA won't allow players to come. That's on the NBA. That's not in the NCAA. This group might as well be telling the NCAA, go tell the White House what to do. Go tell Elon Musk what to do at Tesla. They don't have anything there. That's not their thing. If you want to impress me, go tell the NBA this stuff. The NCAA doesn't have that much in the way of teeth anyways. Why are they wasting their time telling this stuff to the NCAA? They don't control this stuff. The NBA does. One other news story that I do want to touch on here. It was announced here in Denver that the Denver Broncos will be announcing their fourth and fifth round picks in the NFL draft this weekend from the historic Mexican-themed Lakewood restaurant Casa Bonita. Now, if you aren't from Denver, you might have heard of Casa Bonita on, like, I don't know, South Park or something.
Stay back! Cartman, stop it. I am going to Casa Bonita!
Now, living here, I can tell you, no one goes to Casa Bonita unless you're either from out of town or, like, if you have little kids or something like that. Because the food at Casa Bonita is atrocious. Like, you wouldn't eat it. Like, you literally go there. I have done this. I have taken kids there. You go there, you order the food because you have to order the food to get in, and then you just leave it on the table. You're not going to eat it. Like, the food is horrible. But Casa Bonita has, like, cliff divers. They do, like, a little show jumping off a waterfall. They have, like, games and stuff for kids. A lot of, you know, little kid stuff. That's why people go there. Birthday parties, stuff like that. But here's the thing. I'm actually okay with the Denver Broncos announcing their draft picks there. A place that sounds better than it actually is? A place that has no real substance? Yeah, that kind of sounds like a pretty good fit, doesn't it? And I mean, let's be honest. The Broncos and Casa Bonita, they're probably both going to make you feel like you have diarrhea. So yes, this is exactly where the Broncos team should announce all of their picks. Hey, coming back, the NFL draft does begin tonight, and we are going to do our best to predict what we might see happen. Now, before we get into the NFL draft, you might not realize this, but today, April 26th, is apparently National Help a Horse Day. I don't even know what that means. Help a horse do what? I don't know anything about helping a horse. What's the old saying? You can lead a horse to water, but you'd be better off riding him to the liquor store. I don't know what Help a Horse Day even means. Here's what I would take it to mean. It means John Elway might need my help in who to draft tonight. That's what I would take it to mean. Now, if you have followed the Daily Dose for any amount of time, you know that every year around the NFL draft, we usually release our annual NFL mockery draft, in which we just might kind of laugh and point at some of the picks and some of the teams and some of the players that are coming out. But understand this. We're doing a podcast every day now. We don't have time to do it. So, today, right now, we are actually going to do a top 10 mockery draft and just kind of take a look and try to predict the top 10 picks in tonight's draft. Now, understand this. I am just trying to apply some logic and figure out what these teams will do. I'm not saying what they should do or anything like that. I'm trying to predict what they will do. And no, I'm not trying to predict trades, even though I absolutely believe we are going to see some trades tonight. But I can't predict every trade because I know that can change things up. And one thing that's really, really tough that I have learned when you do mock drafts, you get one pick wrong, every pick after that's wrong because it's just this huge snowball effect. So right now, we are going to do our best to predict the top 10 picks of tonight's draft. If these picks take place, here is who I think will be selected barring a trade or something like that. Okay, moving forward, here is our Daily Dose top 10 mockery draft. First pick on the clock of the 2018 NFL draft. And the Cleveland Browns are on the clock. And look, I think the best pick here for Cleveland would be either running back Saquon Barkley or quarterback Sam Darnold. Having said that, this is the Cleveland Browns we're talking about. And I realize they have some new people in the front office. I understand that. But I believe the Cleveland Browns might surprise everyone just a little bit. I think Cleveland is going to take Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen. Now, Allen has a ton of potential. He could have a very, very high ceiling. We know he's got power. He can throw the ball like a mile, big, strong kid. And he could also have a low floor. He could have a basement. He might have a crawl space underneath the basement. Now see, that sounds like a Browns kind of pick to me. So at number one, Cleveland Browns select Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen. At number two, we have the New York Giants on the clock. Now the Giants don't like drama, and they have had way too much of it lately. You had the benching of Eli Manning. You had Odell Beckham Jr. acting a fool. So I think that the Giants would look to take the least drama quarterback available here. And for that reason, I will have them taking USC quarterback Sam Darnold, who I don't know that they would expect to fall to them. But when the Browns go take Josh Allen, I think Darnold falls here to number two. Now, more drama will be coming for the Giants, because by drafting Sam Darnold, they basically are starting that little time clock on the departure of Eli Manning. Plus, we know the Giants could be looking to dump Odell sometime soon, right? But hey, you just try to take your drama in small doses. That's number two. At number three, we move on to the New York Jets. Let's take a look at the quarterbacks that the New York Jets have selected in the first couple rounds just in the past few years, okay? Christian Hackenberg, Geno Smith, Mark Sanchez, Kellen Clemens, Chad Pennington, Browning Nagel, Ken O'Brien. Now, a few of those guys looked pretty good on paper, right? But they never quite lived up to the hype. So with the number three pick of the NFL draft, I've got the New York Jets selecting UCLA quarterback Josh Rosen, because Josh Rosen fits perfectly there too. The Jets will probably ruin him too. That makes perfect sense. Moving on to the number four pick, the Cleveland Browns are back on the clock, and they are going to take Penn State running back Saquon Barkley with that second top five pick. The Browns get both their quarterback and their running back of the future, which would completely make over this team. Things are finally turning around for the Cleveland Browns. Browns fans are going to be ecstatic, at least until they remember that they lost all-pro offensive tackle Joe Thomas because he retired, which means, in turn, that Josh Allen and Saquon Barkley probably going to be getting killed a lot this season. But hey, enjoy the positivity while you can. Moving on to my Denver Broncos at the number five pick. Now, the pick that makes the most sense here is probably Notre Dame offensive guard Quentin Nelson. He's an elite guard. You can probably plug him in for the next, 8-10 years, and you wouldn't have to worry about that guard position. But that's not a sexy pick. And we know that John Elway likes sexy. No, I don't think he will take a quarterback here either. I really believe Elway believes Case Keenum will start for a year or two, and then Paxton Lynch is eventually going to take over. It's insane, but I think it's true. So this is kind of tough. Let's do this. What do the Broncos need? Let's see. They need a running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line. This is too hard. Maybe this would be a little bit easier. What position do they not need? Well, maybe like cornerback or safety. Their defensive backfield is pretty good. Secondary is still solid. They got Chris Harris, Bradley Roby, Darian Stewart, Justin Simmons. Like, picking a defensive back here would probably make the least sense for John Elway. So with the number five pick of the NFL draft, the Denver Broncos select Ohio State cornerback Denzel Ward. Yep, perfect. Makes no sense whatsoever. That's exactly what they'll do. Moving on to number six, we have the Indianapolis Colts, and I think that the Colts would take Saquon Barkley if he were available, but he's long gone. Now, the Colts can't believe the Broncos were so dumb as to not take either Quentin Nelson or Bradley Chubb with their pick. If I were the Colts, I'd be taking Nelson here. But let's be honest. I think the Indianapolis Colts, like, secretly kind of like watching Andrew Luck suffering in constant agony. I don't know why. It's sick, really, but it does seem to be a factor. So the Indianapolis Colts take North Carolina State defensive end Bradley Chubb here, which helps their defense and also allows them to laugh when Andrew Luck ruptures his spleen another time. Aww. Everything kind of works out for Indy here. Number seven, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs defense really took a huge step backwards last year. I mean, also so did their offense. Yeah, and their special teams. Actually, the Bucs are kind of out to revamp their offensive and defensive lines. Now, they did manage to get former New York Giant Jason Pierre-Paul for that defensive line. So now, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will take Notre Dame offensive guard Quentin Nelson. That'll help the offensive side, too. Now, I know, you're expecting me to make some sort of cheap crack about Jason Pierre-Paul's mangled hand here. I'm above that sort of thing these days. I've matured. I've grown up. And I think I deserve a hand for that. Or a thumbs up. Whatever. Not you, Jason. No one wants to see that. Moving on to number 8, we have the Chicago Bears on the clock. You know, the Bears have upgraded their skill positions on the offensive side of the ball. They got tight end Trey Burton, and they got wide receivers Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel, but they need to get better on defense. So I think with this pick, the Chicago Bears select Georgia outside linebacker Roquan Smith. Now, Smith is an insanely athletic defender. He can drop back into coverage. He can come up and support against the run. He can go sideline to sideline. Talented, talented player. And the good news for Roquan Smith, having gone to Georgia, like, he's a little bit used to losing the big game. So this feels like a perfect fit, right? Moving on to number 9, we've got the San Francisco 49ers on the clock. Hey, the Niners would have loved for Roquan Smith to fall to them here, so they could replace Reuben Foster, who was arrested this past weekend on a domestic violence charge. But how can San Francisco pass up a talent like Minkah Fitzpatrick here? I think they go Alabama safety, Minkah Fitzpatrick. The guy can cover so much field back at safety, he's rarely out of position. And that's going to come in handy this year, with Richard Sherman at one corner flailing after receivers on most every single play. Hey, this isn't a want, kids. This is a need. San Francisco 49ers are going to need a good safety. Our final pick that we are going to cover today on the Daily Dose, we are going to look at the Oakland Raiders at pick number 10. Now, the Oakland Raiders went nearly the entire 2017 NFL season without an interception. So I realize they might have other needs here, but I think that Oakland is going to go with Florida State playmaking safety Derwin James here. Hey, the Raiders defense last year, they finished the season with just 5 interceptions all year. And that's kind of weird because they played the Los Angeles Chargers and Phillip Rivers twice. I've seen Phillip Rivers throw that many interceptions in a half. He just can't stop himself, which now that I think about it is probably the reason that dude has like 13 kids now too. Hey, the NFL draft gets rolling tonight and we will see how many of these predictions that we get correct. I do think the draft is going to be wild. I think we're going to see a number of surprises. I think we're going to see a number of trades. We see it every year. Is there any chance tonight we see something memorable? We've seen it all. We've seen teams miss picks. We've seen players in gas masks smoking pot in there and hotboxing themselves. We have seen a number of crazy things in the NFL draft. Could we see something crazy again tonight? You never, ever know. Hey, coming back, we will take a look at just a few of the biggest overreactions of the week by the sports media. We've got a couple things coming out in the NBA, and we do have one take coming out in the NFL. Doesn't make the most sense. Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. May's Loot Crate theme is out. It is called Role Models. It's going to feature items from Arrested Development, Archer, Deadpool, and The Punisher. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, be sure you enter Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. Hey, Mother's Day is coming quickly. You just know that Mom would love to get something from Loot Crate. Number of different things you can pick up for Mom over at lootcrate.com. Okay, so every single Thursday, we like to just kind of check in and take a look around the sports world and just see what goofy overreactions they might be jamming down our throat. Sometimes we'll hear some of these silly things and just kind of say something simple.
That was an overreaction.
One of the things that we are hearing that is a pretty popular take this week is that we are definitely going to be seeing the Philadelphia 76ers beating the Cleveland Cavaliers for that NBA East title. Hey, I understand it. Philadelphia, getting by Miami, they look like a definite contender over in that East. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. I mean, let's see if both of those teams even get to the NBA Eastern Conference Finals first. Philly still has to get through either Boston or Milwaukee. And Cleveland, they're not even out of the first round yet. So I understand everyone saying, hey, Philadelphia is the team to beat in the East. Maybe. But they're not even the team to get to the finals yet. We haven't even seen that. Trust me, some of those series end up being tougher than you might think they're going to be. Let's see if Philadelphia can even get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's see if Cleveland can even get past Indiana first. Slow down on Philly's definitely going to be beating Cleveland. I don't even know if they're going to see each other. Might be getting ahead of ourselves just a little bit. One other take that we have out there in the NBA is that San Antonio Spurs guard Kawhi Leonard, man, dude is just kind of a punk. I mean, he has left his team out to dry. They have needed him in these playoffs. Where's he been? He's not on the bench. Sounds like he's kind of MIA with the Spurs. Now the Spurs are sniping at him. He's not saying anything. We have no idea what's going on between Kawhi Leonard and the San Antonio Spurs. But the thing that kind of stands out is you do kind of look at it and say, man, is Kawhi kind of a punk? Sure kind of seems that way. And maybe he is. Maybe he hasn't dealt well with this whole situation. I don't have any idea. But here's one thing I want everyone to keep in mind. Remember, we just blasted Isaiah Thomas last year for not doing exactly what Kawhi is doing right now. Remember last year, Isaiah Thomas got hurt. He had that hip injury and he tried to play through it. And we all praised him for being so tough. And then he ended up going down and being out for an extended amount of time. And we were like, dude, why don't you just shut it down? Like, you knew it was hurt. You knew there was a problem. Who cares what the team doctors told you? We know that team doctors, they're on the company payroll. We don't care what the team doctors say. They lie all the time. You should have shut that thing down and not played. Yeah, don't look now. But this is literally the exact same thing that Kawhi is doing. He is looking around going, yeah, I don't trust these team doctors. I don't feel healthy. I'm not in the best situation. I am going to shut it down and make sure that I am right before I come back. But we're blasting Kawhi for doing this stuff when it was just last year we were saying, man, Isaiah, hindsight's 2020, you should have shut it down. You probably shouldn't have even played. You should have just said, hey, too bad, I'm not playing. I'll end up costing myself in the long run if I try to play through this. It's what he did. But we're not saying that same thing about Kawhi Leonard. I still think there's some information about Kawhi Leonard that we might not be getting the entire story just yet. Kind of want to wait and see what all comes out. Because we haven't heard anything from Kawhi. We haven't heard any of his side of the story. I would like to hear that before we hang him out to dry just yet. Last overreaction of the week, and this is just kind of a broad overreaction that we're hearing everywhere. We are already seeing the winners and losers of the NFL schedule release. Hey, this team got an easy path. Hey, this team got a really, really hard path. Like it's going to be super difficult for them to get back. We're looking at every different team and looking down the schedule. We aren't even done completely with NFL free agency. The NFL draft is just beginning. So what are we basing any of this NFL schedule talk and NFL schedule winners and losers? What are we basing any of this off of? Last year. We're just going off of last year and saying, okay, if the 2017 season just continued, here's who would be the winners and losers of the NFL schedule. But that's not what happens. These teams are completely different. How many teams right now, how many teams are exactly the same as they were last year? And as a result, how many of their opponents are exactly the same as they were last year? I don't have any idea what the NFL schedule release means. Like I look at the schedule and I go, well, I guess it means I'll be watching this game on Thanksgiving. Other than that, I don't know anything. Here's what opening night is. And I know, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week and we didn't really dive into it too deep because I look at the schedule and I'm going, I don't know what this means. And I know that by the time a lot of these games come around, we're going to be looking at these teams completely different than we are thinking of them right now. We're looking at a team like Buffalo. Hey, last year, Buffalo's pretty tough. Got a pretty good defense, made it to the playoffs. This next year, look at how many changes they've had. I don't have any idea what they're going to do. And there's a number of teams just like that. So when we start throwing things out and we start saying, hey, here's what the NFL schedule means. They've got the toughest schedule and they've got the easiest schedule. We're just making all this stuff up. It makes no sense whatsoever. And there's nothing to base any of it on. It's just another goofy sports media overreaction. Hey, tomorrow is Friday. And of course, we will be looking at the latest and greatest in sports news and stories. We're going to be recapping this first round of the NFL draft. Plus, we'll be giving a quick preview of the weekend in sports. And we will, as we do every Friday, we will have our weekly Daily Dose Top 5. So you know that you've got to make sure that you tune in for that. I have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the questions. Thank you for the suggestions, the tweets, the texts. Thank you for sharing the show. It is all very, very appreciated. Hey, make sure that you don't miss a single episode by just clicking that little subscribe or follow button. Wherever it is that you listen, you'll be sure you don't miss a single show. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday and enjoy the first round of that NFL draft.